prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meets. I am Pastor Dave, and this is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Most of you out there believe that God exists, but let's just be honest. Most of you believe God exists, but you just don't go to church. We're from Revolution Church. Today, we're actually going to talk about, and I hope you'll at least like give it a thought. Just give it a listen.
Right.
Because if you've heard of a show before, you know we're not just dumb, boring people who like khaki pants.
I'm not anyway.
All right. I mean, you can wear whatever you want at the church. You can wear, bring your tattoos. It doesn't matter who you are, like what you look like. But today we're going to talk about why we actually think if you want to connect with God, connecting with the church is what we got to do. Because, that's actually kind of a big question.
It is, because that's actually one of the things that a lot of people do talk about is like, I can do church on my own. I don't have to be a part of a church in order to worship God.
That's right. So before you change the channel or shut this podcast off, let me just ask that question. How do you know that's true? And you can't say, God and I have an understanding. How do you know it's true that you don't have to be in a church? Like, right. We're going to actually talk about that today. And you know what? Maybe we're wrong. Maybe you listen to the show and be like, nope, here's the logical reason why I disagree. But if it makes sense, then it's a good thing you listen to the show. Yeah, just give it a listen, see if it makes sense or not. And also we're going to answer Bible contradiction. Mm-hmm. We got a listener question. We'll see if we can get to that.
We got a lot of content today.
A lot of content. But hey, we are part of Revolution Church. We meet at Sunday at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 5 p.m.
Right.
We might be adding a fourth service soon. I don't know. We keep growing, which
is
awesome. It is
crazy.
So, we'd love for you to come out and visit. We'd love for you to come out and be part of what we're doing.
1111 West South.
That's right. But, we also belong to the denomination, which we would talk about if you want to come to the church and understand what that's about, why we do that. But, because we don't do very many things on accident around here.
No, everything's pretty intentional.
It's pretty, it's like, hey, we had a reason why we did this. And, but one of our denomination's core values, which we love, is it's called belonging to the community of faith. And this is what it says. It's the giant red words.
The giant
Dave.
Red words. Thanks. It says, core value number 5, belonging to the community of faith. We value integrity in relationships and mutual accountability in an atmosphere of grace, love, and acceptance.
I
took the direction, Jeff.
We need an atmosphere of grace, love, and acceptance right here. Because we're already
mostly you pointed at me.
I'm judging you right now for not noticing the giant red letters. Mm-hmm. But I probably could have set you up a little better with that.
That's all right.
Like letting you know. But anyway, so we do believe that there's this community of faith, and what we have to have is this is where it starts. We need accountability with each other, and we need people who are going to give us grace and mercy and love in our lives in the spiritual areas of our life.
Right. And those two things actually go hand in hand. When you're holding somebody accountable, you don't want them to do it without mercy and love. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Otherwise, they will be like a slug on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And you just poured a bunch of salt on them. And,
oh, that's right.
So.
And not everybody wants to be held accountable.
Right.
I mean, we have conversations sometimes where I was talking to someone today and I told them something that was true and they got mad at me for it. I mean, that could happen, that can happen. But really, in our church, what we try to do is speak to people in love, is speak to people with grace. We try to be forgiving no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you've been through. We want you to receive forgiveness here because the Bible never tells the church to punish people who repent from their sin.
Right.
Never.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Every time somebody is actually sorry for a sin and they make an about face. Mm-hmm. I mean, we want to accept them back into the church because we're really a part of the family.
Right. The church's goal then is to put their arm around them, love on them, forgive them, help them to become what God wants them to be. And you have to have both this community where someone knows what happened in your life, puts their arm around you and loves you anyway, as well as says, hey, Dave, you can do better than that,
Right.
Like, come on, Dave, let's try. Let's figure out how we can move forward. And I'm just going to go out on a limb and bet that most people, maybe your parents or a husband or something like that, or a spouse or outside of like your immediate family, and maybe sometimes not even with your immediate family, most people don't have the type of relationship where you can admit whatever you've done as a sin, mm-hmm. right. and someone will put their arm around you and say, we forgive and we love you and we want to help you get over that instead of judging them.
Right. And the funny thing
at the same time, yeah. they're also willing to help the person be accountable and right. become what God wants them to be. Not just feel better, but become what God wants them to be. At the same time, they're forgiving them and loving them for the evil thing they did.
Right. And the funny thing is that a lot of people want that kind of thing in their lives. But then a lot of people that want that kind of thing in their lives don't want to give it to other people, you know? And so, I mean, you see that happen time and time again. Man. And so,
yes, right? Like everybody wants forgiveness when they've done wrong mm-hmm. and everybody wants justice when they've been wronged.
Right.
But they don't want it the other way around, right. right? Like when someone does wrong to you, you're not like, I really think this is the time to focus on forgiveness. Mm-hmm. But when you do something wrong, you're like, this is the time to focus on forgiveness.
Right. Yeah. right. But you know, in a community of faith, we learn to live together. We learn to love one another.
Yeah.
And we go at each other with like what we call untamed mercy.
Untamed. Mm-hmm. Wild. Passionate mercy. Like Dave did something wrong. Man, God wants to forgive him. God wants to love on him. So I'm going to do that because God wants me to be that person who loves on Dave and forgives Dave and has mercy on Dave and tells Dave that Dave, you are forgiven. God mm-hmm. forgives you for that thing.
Amen.
And at the same time, and like, so Dave, let's figure out how we're going to do better next time.
Okay.
I want to know
too. I'll read the red letters next time for sure.
That's good, Dave. But you know Thanks. What? I forgive you for not reading them before.
Awesome. Thanks.
And I still love you, man.
See how that works?
And see, that's all. It works. That's how it works.
Right.
But that is a rare relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, usually your boss will yell at you when you do something wrong, but rarely will they put their arm around you and say, but you know what? I still love you even though you messed up.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes your family will yell at you, and sometimes they'll forgive you, but rarely they put your arm around you and say, but I love you even when you did wrong.
Right.
And hardly ever does anyone have that relationship where someone says, hey, I want to keep you accountable in a good way.
Right.
I want you to aspire to become what God wants you to become, and I want to help you do that, and I'm going to hold you accountable, but I'm going to do it in a really loving, kind way.
Right, and too many people are so afraid to hold somebody else accountable because they don't want to be the brunt of their
ire. It can be difficult.
It can't be difficult, but the crazy thing is that if you practice that, and you practice that within a community that is used to doing stuff like that,
yeah.
it gets easier.
Yes, absolutely. You know, Acts chapter 2, verse 42-47 says this, and Dave... Mm. It's the text on the bottom of the page with an underline.
Something tells me that you haven't forgiven me yet.
No, I was just making sure we didn't have to have more conflict, right?
Respect.
Yes. All right. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Hmm. They broke bread in the homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people.
Dang.
And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved.
They're sharing everything. They're loving each other. They're giving each other everything they own.
Mm-hmm. And you saw the result of that.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, they were praising God. People were getting saved, coming mm-hmm. to church. It was awesome. Of course, it didn't take very long after that. Where two guys, Paul and Barnabas, who, by the way, were the leaders in the church,
right.
got into a fight.
Oops.
And there was sin in the church members, and so they had to kick some people out.
Right.
They don't kick people out because there's sin. They kick people out because these guys were sinning, and they're like, hey, guys, let's not do that. And they're like, well, whatever, we're going to do it anyway.
Right.
So they had to kick them out. And then there were some false teachers who were lying about God, and then there was hypocrisy, and just, like, there was fights over what to believe, and, like, that was 2,000 years ago. This is like on Twitter, if you were to describe
like yesterday.
This, you'd be like hashtag people, right?
Right.
This is just, doesn't matter, 2,000 years ago, yesterday, this is people, right?
Right.
People in a church equal church problems,
mm-hmm.
right? Every single one of us is going to have problems if we go to a church. You just got to face it right at the outset because we're human stinking beings.
Right.
I think that's our scientific name.
Sure.
And
I'll just let you roll with it.
Because we're human stinking beings, we're going to make stinking mistakes,
yes.
whether we're at our stinking home, our job, or church.
Right. And our goal is to actually try and become less stinking human beings.
Yes. Holy human beings.
And become more like Jesus.
That's right. And so we need people to hold us accountable and forgive us so that we feel free and loved. Well, at the same time, people are telling us, hey, we can do better than this.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there's a guy, Tom Nelson, who wrote a book called Ecclesia, and he starts talking about the ecclesia is the Greek word for church. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to understand what church really is. So he said this.
The Greek word for church here is ecclesia. Ecclesia was used widely in extra-biblical literature of the day.
That means writings that are not in the Bible, just like normal secular writings.
Right. And they were used to describe a public gathering, an assembly of people summoned by a herald or town crier. Here in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus employs the word and attaches to it a special significance.
Okay, God's redeemed people. Yes. So what's going on here is you have this word that means town meeting. Mm-hmm. Town meeting. And Jesus says, hey, I want you guys to be my town meeting. That's the word for church.
Right.
It came from the Greek word for town meeting, basically, assembly. And so he's like, I want you guys to be my business meeting. So the church isn't supposed to be some fluffy place that raises funds for poor people. Like, the church is supposed to be a business meeting about people who want to love each other and love God better.
Right.
That, and so our goal is to come together and talk about how we can love God better and how to love people better.
Right. I wonder how many people would actually think, well, that's sacrilegious to call church a business meeting.
Well, Jesus should have used a different word then.
Right.
This is the word he used. All right. Primarily, it's a church. An ecclesia is a local gathering of Christians who are committed to each other, and they're meeting together to do the important business of God.
Amen.
Okay. It's not merely a lovey-dovey place. It's not just come Sunday morning and listen to a guy talk place. It's everyone in that church coming together to do God's business together, to love each other, to care for each other, to forgive each other, to hold each other accountable, to become better. Mm-hmm. You know, Matthew 5, Jesus is talking and he says, if you're offering a gift to God at the altar, and you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there. Don't even give your gift to God until you first go are reconciled with that person you had a problem with, then come offer your gift, right? Part of God's business is unity among people who believe. Hear that again. God's business is unity among people who believe. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? God's business is to get you to be in unity with other people who believe in Jesus Christ. So much so that if someone has church has a problem with you, that you should make it your most important goal to reconcile with that person. So just imagine now if you're not even part of a church. If God's business is to bring unity among people who believe, so much so that he doesn't even want your gift if you have a problem with someone else at the church. He's like, could you even imagine what God might say if you're not even at one?
Yeah.
My business is to get you there. I want unity. That doesn't mean everybody out doing their own thing away from each other because they don't need to be accountable to each other. No, God wants unity. Your family can't have unity if you're never together.
Right. The one thing that the Bible talks about, and please tell me if I'm jumping forward.
Yes, I will tell you.
Is the one body but many parts type description. You know, that we all belong to the same body, but we all do different things.
That is the very next verse I was going to read.
Is it? Seriously?
It's just look right there, Dave. It's underlined right on the bottom, that next line there. So, Dave, this is why he's a pastor, man, because he's awesome like that.
Thanks.
But we're just going to skip that verse because he just said it. But hey. Did you see what the goal was? Like in that whole section of scripture, which by the way is Ephesians 4:11-16. All right, it's like, hey, we all have a body, and your body has different parts, a thumb, an eye, a nose, a neck, a back. You need all those parts.
Right.
If you're missing your back, that's a serious problem.
Right, you're not going to function properly.
Right. If you're missing your leg, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. You can be alive, but it's a problem.
Right.
And so what is going on here, it says the church is a body. And if there's people that God wanted to be in that church, but they're missing that person, they're missing their arm.
Right. And the church is limping around, basically.
Right, right, we can function, but there's a problem.
Yeah.
And you may be that missing part in a church. God designed a church for you to be a part of, for you to be in unity and love with these people. And right now that church is missing parts, and you're missing lots of other parts.
Amen.
Because you're not in unity with these other believers yet. You're not experiencing the love of God, and forgiveness of God from other people. Wow. Okay, we're going to keep going on this, but we also got a Bible contradiction we're going to do. Hopefully, a listener question on the other half of the show. Dave, what should they do right now?
They should go to truthrevolution.tv. There they can find past shows, truth shots. They can find a way to donate, and they can ask questions.
Oh, yeah, they can ask questions. So if you got a question, a disagreement, a Bible contradiction, and you can just send it in to us. We answer every one of those.
There you go.
I love hearing from you. I love it. It's like a hobby. We'll be right back. Truthrevolution.tv.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
John 3:16, one of the most famous Bible verses ever, says, "Whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish but have eternal life."
I love it. Faith in God is what's required of us to be saved.
But is that a contradiction to the rest of the Bible?
Oh, come on, man.
Well, people have pointed out that James 2:19 says, "You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder."
Okay, so the demons believe.
Right, but I doubt you say they'll be saved.
Of course not. Our acronym CRACT helps us solve Bible contradictions. And the first C is context. What was the context of the audience that, you know, who was he talking to?
Humans.
Right, exactly. So John 3:16 only applies to humanity. If I walk into my workplace and say, "I'm buying drinks for everyone," I don't literally mean everyone in the world. Context is key. That's how you solve this Bible contradiction.
TruthRevolution.tv.
God cares more about what's inside than what's on the outside.
For real. At Revolution Church, we're not worried about how you look. We're just a church for people who don't normally go to church.
If you're interested, check us out on Facebook.
Or www.revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.
This is about you and God. Our whole goal is to make a place where you and your kids will feel totally welcome.
Services at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and at 5 p.m.
On Facebook and www.revo.church.
R-E-V-O.church. Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same: to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Ephesians 1:4 says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." We were chosen by God to be saved before the world began. But listen to the rest of this verse. It says, "In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." God chooses to describe his grand cosmic plan for the redemption of humankind as adoption. Now God chooses words carefully. And Jewish theologians, including Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, believed that history from the beginning was moving towards a pinnacle mountaintop when God would redeem his people. That is Jesus Christ redeeming us. And all the climax of all history, physical, emotional, spiritual, is described as our adoption because of Jesus. Consider adoption today. God uses the word as the pinnacle of what he's done for you and me. And it can be the pinnacle of what you do for another human being in this world.
Truth Revolution.
Are you a part of a church body? And if not, why not?
Yeah. So we've talked about love and accountability, experiencing God's forgiveness, being in unity with other believers. These are all things that you actually can't do unless you're in a church and participating in a church. You can't experience true spiritual and just true genuine love from other believers on a regular basis.
Right, and another thing too.
At the same time as you get the accountability.
Right. Another thing too, you know, somebody can say, well, you know, we have missionaries that go off and do their own thing and stuff like that, but I guarantee you that missionaries are supported by a local church, and I guarantee you they're doing church down where they're at too.
If they're not, they should be.
Right.
They should be. You know, when we came and we founded Revolution Church, you know, we first started going to Crossroads Church, and I worked there. And then from out of that church, we launched Revolution Church.
Right.
And so this is how these things start. And a lot of times if missionaries go to a place where there is no church, they don't even go by themselves with one person. They go with multiple people because just doing it alone, being a Christian on your own, is not how you were designed to be.
Yeah, and it's tough.
In Ephesians 4, it actually says the reason Jesus came here, it says, was so that, and the reason he wanted to equip us and prepare, use pastors to teach people, was so that verse 13 says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Okay, that's the pastor's job. So if you're not sitting under a pastor listening to those teachings in a church where you're participating with people who love you and hold you accountable, you cannot reach unity in the faith. You cannot reach full knowledge in the Son of God. You cannot become mature. You cannot attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Because that's what it says in Ephesians 4 that Jesus Christ assigns pastors to do in a local church.
Right.
It says, if you get those things, then you'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here or there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. In other words, until you become a good part of a local church, listening to a pastor in your local area on a regular basis, and experiencing accountability and love with other people, you're going to be tossed around. You're going to hear one teaching about God. You're going to go, wow, maybe that's true. And you can hear another one. Oh, maybe that's what it is. And you're not going to have this grounding.
Oh, yeah. I did this for a long time, actually. Now that you mention it.
Really?
You know, yeah, I didn't go to church. I considered myself a Christian. Mm-hmm. But I pretty much swallowed any kind of theology that came around. Oh, that sounds right.
And did you know you were doing it at the time?
No, I didn't. It was like, it was one of those things where I thought I was just gaining more knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it's like, you find yourself in a church and you're constantly surrounded by the message of what's in the Bible. And you begin to think, I was this happened the other day when I was talking to you about something that I thought that I knew about the Bible. You're like, I don't think that's true, Dave. It's not. I'm sure it's in here somewhere. But I was set straight.
Right, right. And there you got some accountability, mm-hmm, in a love, in a relationship with love and friendliness, and
right,
you know, we grow. I mean, you've done that to me before.
Mm-hmm.
You've had conversations with me about, Jeff, you did this thing, man. And I'm like, I did do that. And you gave me love, you gave me forgiveness.
Right.
But the goal of the church and your faith is to reach unity with fellow followers of Jesus.
Amen.
Got that? In Ephesians 4, it tells you right there, the goal of your faith is to reach unity with other believers. Without going to a local church, you won't become mature. You won't reach unity in faith with other believers. You won't become part of the fullness of Christ. You won't be solidified in your faith. You won't experience accountability. You won't experience true forgiveness and love from other people as you admit your sin. Like,
yeah,
all these things you will be missing.
Well, and that's a lot of stuff. All that stuff sounds good. If none of that stuff sounds good to you,
then I don't
understand. Are you calling yourself a Christian?
Right. I mean, if that doesn't sound like things you want, then I understand why you wouldn't want to go to church.
Right.
But if you love Jesus, then those would be things that you want. All right, Dave, what do you say we go answer our Bible contradiction? Right, is that all right? All right.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction today. Hey, shall we keep the Sabbath?
Oh.
Exodus 31:15 says, whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. However, Colossians 2:16 says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. So what is it? Shall we be put to death or shall we just not be judged?
Yeah, this is from the Freedom From Religion Foundation, by the way.
Okay.
Well, we're going to use our cracked acronym, and we're going to use K. I almost said we're going to solve for K. This is not algebra. We're going to, K stands for knit together, right? To understand what the Bible means, you have to go all the way back to Genesis. You have to read. You have to understand how all the way to the end of Revelation, how right, it all fits together. It's knit together. If you tug on one string in your shirt, it pulls on the others. You tug on one verse in the Bible, it pulls on the others, right? The Sabbath is not, as the Seventh-day Adventists would maintain, the Sabbath is not a legalistic law that we are supposed to be keeping right now. It's two things. It's a shadow and it's a help. Okay? Here's what Jesus said. Okay, Mark 2:27. It says this.
The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
All right, so this means Sabbath was created to help us. And we should not any longer kill people for breaking it, but we should use it to our advantage to rest and worship and do the right things as we take a break every once in a while.
Right.
Okay, so we just have this idea that we need a break.
So killing people was no longer a help.
It's no longer a help.
Right.
Now, they did kill people in the Old Testament for it because it also was a shadow. A shadow is kind of like an analogy. Like if you see a shadow of an airplane on the ground, you know there's an airplane in the sky, right?
It
has given you good information. But at some point, you need to look up and see the real airplane if you right, want to know what it's all about.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the Sabbath was a shadow. It was a metaphor that was going to tell us about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here, the Colossians chapter 2 says this.
It says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins.
having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and what that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to religious festival, a new moon, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ.
Okay, so it says there was a Sabbath day. Don't let anyone judge you according to a Sabbath day. Well, which is the verse that they thought was the contradiction. Mm-hmm. It says, but that was just a shadow. The reality is found in Christ. Amen. Okay, so in the Old Testament, whoever worked on the Sabbath, so whoever ignored the Sabbath and did their own works had to die.
Right.
We come to the reality. Whoever ignores Jesus and tries to do their own works will
die.
You will go to hell. Spiritual right. death. Right? That's the reality. The Sabbath, obeying the Sabbath, the one day a week, wasn't like, oh yeah, God's really protective of Saturdays, man. No, that's not what it was. It was right. God is all about, you have to accept Jesus Christ, and there's only one way to heaven. And the Sabbath was going to show them there's only one way to experience true rest.
Amen.
And Jesus is the only way to experience true rest. That was the analogy. Okay, you can read more about this in Hebrews 4. It explains clearly, without Jesus, you don't get rest, but you will experience death. This Sabbath was just a shadow in the old covenant, but we're under a new covenant where we don't function with shadows and metaphors. We function with reality, Jesus Christ. Okay, in the Old Testament, you ignore the Sabbath, you get judged and die. In the New Testament reality, you ignore Jesus, you get judged and die. In the Old Testament, you follow the Sabbath, God blesses you and you increase. You get good things. In the New Testament, you believe in Jesus, God will bless you. You will go to heaven. You will be saved.
Amen.
So that's what it's about.
Bible contradiction.
All right. All right, so back to church. Why we do church, why we should go to church. Ephesians 4 tells us, Christ himself gave us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, the body of Christ may be built up. The whole point of pastors, of Dave and I here, our whole job.
There's a point?
Dang it.
Right on.
The whole
point. Learn something new every day.
Dave, why don't you read that bold red text and tell us what the purpose of pastors is. See if you'll remember it.
The purpose of pastors and teachers is to give you what you need to achieve those goals.
Of unity, mm-hmm. of becoming mature, right? It's our job to teach you. Christ himself did this. Jesus gave himself, you pastors and teachers, right? Those were his idea. You ignore pastors and teachers. You ignore churches. You avoid accountability. You avoid experiencing forgiveness and love from people in the church. You are avoiding what Jesus did.
Yeah.
But
not a fun way to live.
But we value integrity in relationships. Mm-hmm. We value mutual accountability. We value an atmosphere of grace and love and acceptance, right? So I want you to put your name in this, okay? Blank, your name must speak the truth, blank, in love to other Christians, right? Jeff must speak the truth in love to other Christians right. to help achieve the goals of unity and maturity. Listener, I want you to put your name in there. Just go ahead if you're listening, say your name out loud. Right now,
Dave
must speak the truth in love to other Christians to help achieve our goals of unity and maturity. Right, you must do that. And if you're not doing that, you're missing out on it.
Right,
to tell people in love, participate in church, but also so go ahead and say your name. I'm serious. Say your name again right now. Must
Dave.
Be will.
Sorry.
Must be the listener, not you.
Oh,
must be okay. Say your name. Must be willing to accept correction from people in a church. Right, that's true. You got to be willing to do that. Don't be offended when others correct you. Thank them for it. Individualism does not produce love.
Amen.
But being in a church allows you to experience love and forgiveness. We want to invite you to Revolution Church, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 5 p.m. every Sunday. Come, just come out and try it. You're going to like it anyway.
Yeah, and if you're not living in the area, you can always find us online.
Yes, you will.
At live.revo.church.
That's right. So you can go to truthrevolution.tv and find out more about Revolution Church or just the direct website, revo.church. We would love to have you.
Yep.
Just try it. I dare you to try it 3 times and see if you don't like it.
You might actually like it. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm not going to lie to you. A lot of people like that first time. That first time was like, cool. It was different than I expected. It was fun. Mm-hmm. But they have to come back to actually start learning a little bit. Because the first time you're just kind of like, wow, I didn't know church was not going to judge me.
What just happened?
So just try it three times in a row and see what happens.
There you go.
We'd love to have you out. Just come on out today. You can make it. You can make it right now. TruthRevolution.tv.